Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? People often ask me how to sign up to tell a story at Tell Us Something. Go to tellussomething.org and click Tell a Story to see the themes for 2017. Click the link for the theme that resonates with you. A new page opens. Complete the form there. Then call 406-203-4683 to pitch your story. This episode of the Tell Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on June 20th, 2017 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana. 9 storytellers shared their story based on the theme, On the Road. This edition of the Tell Something podcast comes to us from Alex Sackerson and is titled Reluctant Journey.
So it seems strange to start a story about roads with a stop sign, but it's been a long time since I've been able to look at a stop sign and not think of that Journey song, Don't Stop Believin'. And every time I do, I think about Melissa. We met when I was a senior in college, back when I hired her on the arts desk of the Montana Kaiman over at the University of Montana. And over countless parties, she quickly became the free-spirited core of our social group. She was the one who taught us how to turn a blue tarp and a garden hose into a backyard slip and slide, how to turn our big orange cooler into a 6-gallon vat of sangria, how to smuggle a champagne bottle into a movie theater. She loved to tell this story about the time that she chewed out Olympic skier Johnny Mosley for signing her ski jacket without permission. And she was never above disappearing into the inky black night to go stencil another stop sign with her mantra, don't stop believing. So when Melissa called me one May and said, hey, I need a favor, I didn't hesitate at all. She was tapped to be a bridesmaid at a high school friend's wedding and wanted a college buddy there as backup, just in case things got a little too dramatic. So I trucked down to Billings, and for the first part of the reception, she was going about various bridesmaids' duties while I sat at a table with her folks, bonding over cake and champagne and goofy stories about Melissa and her childhood tennis years. About halfway through the night, about when the music started to really bop, Melissa looked like she needed a breath of fresh air. So we walked outside and sat on the curb in the parking lot. And we really had one of those conversations that we hadn't had before. She opened up at a level that, you know, our sort of social drinking buddy situation had never quite, you know, facilitated. And so she was feeling lost. She had already vowed to leave her job at the newspaper up in Kalispell, but she wasn't quite sure where to go next. She was thinking definitely go back to school, but counseling, law school, she wasn't sure. And I did my best to reassure her that she wasn't the only one who had lost her bearings among us in her early 20s, that I'd been pretty malaised in my own job and I was kind of casually looking around for other opportunities. But I told her tonight's a party. Leave all that heady stuff for tomorrow. About mid-July that same year, I found myself stuck in traffic back in Billings with a car full of pallbearers. We'd gotten separated from the funeral procession, and I was frantically weaving in traffic trying to catch up as Melissa's boyfriend Brett in the seat next to me was trying his best to navigate us there on his phone's GPS. We got there without too much of a delay, and we stood in order of height behind the hearse, and the muted purple coffin slid out of the back. It was about that moment that I realized that not all roads, as I had thought in my college years, were physical. That there were some roads out there that life throws you that don't have a dashed line, that don't have mile markers or speed limits. The days after news that Melissa's plane had gone missing had been gnawing at my gut. I'd known that she had intended to go up on a flight with some friends as a sort of last hurrah before she left the Daily Interlake. And when I heard that a plane had gone missing in the Flathead, I feared the worst. Because of my job, I was glued to a news desk, and so I kind of found myself in that position as the search and rescue crews were scouring rivers and mountains and news reports were trickling out of keeping friends across the country updated through text and phone conversation. And the torrent of emotion at the revelation that there had been no survivors in the crash had just subsided, or had barely subsided, when I wrapped my fingers around the rails of her casket. We walked slowly down a road that I never, ever thought or dreamed or wanted to be walking. I told myself a million times not to make eye contact with anyone. And we rested her down, and I stepped away and felt like my legs were going to buckle. If it hadn't been for a friend of mine who put his arm around me, I'm pretty sure they would have. About 2 months later, we found ourselves on a very different road, and I felt like my knees were going to buckle again. It had been my friend Eric's idea to hike to the crash site to try to get what we thought would be some closure. And we were navigating with the vaguest of source material. We just had a Google Earth printout with the search and rescue crew's trail sketched roughly on it. It had been pretty easy to navigate down the Forest Service road through the clear cut. And from there, we managed to find a few bits of search and rescue flagging tape that had been left behind. But once we hit the creek and got to the other side, we were forced to bushwhack. Every downed tree meant another scramble, another sliver in my shorts, which was dumb, another bruise on my calf. And just about the time that I was ready to give up, that we'd never find this place, that it was a fool's errand, Eric said the one thing that I never would have said he would say: butterfly. I took his word for it, and he went tearing through the woods after this flitting little object, and we were kind of forced to scramble after him as best we could, Eric being an endurance runner and the rest of us being portly journalists. And so we finally caught up with Eric right at the edge of a clearing. And it was immediately, unmistakably clear exactly where we were. The fuselage had been removed, but there were burnt branches and broken treetops everywhere. There was still metal bits strewn up the hillside, burnt upholstery. We had traveled up there together. We had blazed this road together. But for the next 20 minutes, each of us was completely alone. I wandered around the hillside, just kind of toeing at the ground, picking up bits of metal and rubbing it between my fingertips, and I realized at that point that it wasn't closure we were going to find, that this was just reality setting in, that the trail we'd blazed had led us to the unmistakable conclusion that Melissa was not out there anymore, that she was no longer traveling the road of life with us. When we'd all had our time alone, we reconvened at the top of the hill, we popped a bottle of champagne, rested the cork on the top of a cairn, and poured the first taste out onto the ground. And I wanted nothing more at that point than to be on a physical road, the kind I'd yearned for all through my college years, to be holding a steering wheel and to have a rearview mirror to look back on and see the times when Melissa had been traveling with us. But I also knew in that same beat that Melissa would have been the last one who would have wanted us to stop.
That story is dedicated to Melissa Weaver and the Weaver family.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Sackerson is a 2008 graduate of the University of Montana's School of Journalism. Hailing from a family of storytellers and having grown up as one himself, he now makes his living writing about the environment, politics, and the people around us for the Missoula Independent.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered on local house-made ingredients. Dining made different. TopHatLounge.com. The Wilma. A locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again hosts live entertainment. Now the Wilma is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building and has become a destination for nationally touring musicians. TheWilma.com. CabinetParts.com, the number one source for cabinet hardware since 1997. Anyone searching for the best kitchen cabinet hardware at a great price needs to go to CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts.com, in business since 1997, combines knowledgeable hardware specialists with the best online shopping experience nationwide. With fast and easy ordering, free hinge matching service, and same-day shipping, CabinetParts.com is the direct source for all of your cabinet hardware needs. The bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. The Good Food Store, supporting Western Montana farmers and ranchers for almost 50 years, The Good Food Store supports the local folks creating their own beer, salsa, baked goods, ice cream, and more. The Good Food Store is a passionate supporter of Missoula nonprofits, supporting multiple organizations, events, and fundraisers every year. Learn more at GoodFoodStore.com. Missoula Broadcasting Company. Missoula Broadcasting Company is locally owned and operates four radio stations. The Trail 103.3, Missoula's quality rock and part of our unique Western Montana community, featuring local DJs who love Missoula and know their music. Jack FM 105.9, playing what they want. You 104.5 FM, your at-work listening station. And ESPN 102.9, focusing on city, state, and regional sports, giving exposure and insight to teams and athletes in and around Western Montana. Martin McCain Woodworks and Design. If you're looking for custom, modern, or mid-century cabinetry and furniture to fit your home, check out Martin's work on Instagram. He's at Martin_McCain_Woodworks over there, and MartinMcCain79 on Pinterest. You can always friend up with him on Facebook, because if he's doing work for you, it's pretty likely you'll become friends. Facebook.com/MartinMcCainWoodworks. Enlighten Lab Float Center. Enlighten Lab Float Center is a spa featuring sensory deprivation or floating as a wellness therapy. Unplug, reset, and recharge in their state-of-the-art float tanks. Learn more at EnlightenLab.com. That's EnlightenLab.com. Gecko Designs. Gecko Designs is a great little design shop specializing in responsive results-driven web design and are a proud supporter of the arts, hosting First Fridays every month and making sure that the artists receive the full sale amount when they successfully sell a piece of art. GeckoDesigns.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. If you're interested in sponsoring Tell Us Something, email me at mark@tellusomething.org. That's mark@tellusomething.org. Podcast production by me, Mark Moss. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers, Kim Maynard, Alex Sackerson, Steve Gonzalez, Alex Miller, Jason Weiner, Pat Abbey, Kathy Witkowski, Hilly McCann, and Svein Newman. For the most up-to-date information about Tell Us Something and upcoming events, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and subscribe to the podcast. Tell Us Something now also has a YouTube channel. Subscribe to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/tellussomething.